You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Positivity Podcast on Anfield Index. My name is Matt McElroy, and I will be your moderator for today's discussion. I am joined today by Lubo Murkoff and Paul Jenkins. How are you doing, guys?
Paul? Yeah, I am doing very well. It's been a nice Sunday here. The weather is good, and I have been chilling this afternoon, making the most of International Weekend or International Week by watching one of my favorite TV shows, Naked and Afraid. So, yeah, no. I'm having a good day, drinking coffee, watching Naked and Afraid, and chilling out with you guys.
So now, why is Naked and Afraid one of your favorite TV shows?
I don't know. I just love the survival aspect of it and trying to... I don't know. Like, do you know the premise of the show? Do you guys watch it?
I've watched quite a few episodes, yes.
I love it. I just love like watching these guys who are trying to survive in like these harsh conditions, and like I guess there's no real need for them to be naked, but it's just kind of a weird quirk to the show where they are naked and they're just trying to navigate all this stuff, and they're getting stung left, right and center, and there's trees and all these different things that can kind of cause them so much injury, or they can get absolutely like one was watching there, like they tapped out after 7 days. The girl had just got absolutely sunburnt and she just couldn't go on. I shouldn't be laughing. Like, it's really bad that I'm laughing about that, because I know fine rightly that I couldn't survive like half an hour, never mind 21 days naked and afraid. And I think for me, like, I've done over here, we have this award called the Duke of Edinburgh Award, which is like you're camping and expeditions, and you know, there's various different parts to it, but I always loved like camping and going on this kind of stuff. And it's just like, it just taps into something that I wish that I would be able to do now, but have absolutely no chance of ever been able to do. So it's just one of those kind of like, yeah, like feel good. It's not even feel good. It's just one of those kind of shows that I just watch and go, that's amazing. Or it's the flip side where you're going, why on earth are they doing that? If I was there, I wouldn't do it that way. I would do it this way. And you're like, Paul, you're sitting there drinking coffee, eating, you know, biscuits, lying on top of your bed. It's all very easy for you to say you would do it that way.
Armchair quarterbacking the survival shows. That's a fantastic way to go.
that's me. I'm an expert on this stuff from my bed.
Yeah, I've watched a few of those episodes, and it's great. You don't have to pay that close of attention, but then you're also like, exactly. Why are you doing that?
It's easy watching, and then you just lift your head up, and you're like, why on earth are you eating that and doing that way? And then you're just like, oh, this is brilliant.
So Lubo, how are you doing on this fine Sunday morning?
So the weather here is beautiful. Yesterday rained a lot. We even had floods here in Jersey City and Hoboken. And Hoboken, for people who don't know, it's a big part of Hoboken is actually below even the sea level. So whenever it rains, it floods. So we had a bunch of flooding, but today is beautiful. I had a very eventful morning for reasons that I don't want to go into the podcast, but I'm glad to be here. I do have a cup of coffee as well and ready to podcast. And these events, the Naked and Afraid, I've seen a few of them. You know, I could never really get into these shows that much, but the show that I used to watch a lot years ago was Man vs. Wild with, what's his name?
Is that Bear Grylls?
Bear Grylls, yeah, with Bear Grylls. That actually, I love that show. And then they pivoted to having Man vs. Wild with celebrities, where they have all of these out of shape, completely wimpy celebrities trying to do just really silly things. And I had to draw the line at that one. But the original show I thought was very, very good.
Bear Grylls, of course, who is from Northern Ireland.
Is he?
Yes, oh, he was born in Donaghadee.
Oh, so that should be your favorite Northern show.
I've watched a fair bit of Bear Grylls stuff. Like, it is good, but yeah.
The survival shows are always calling, is what you're saying.
Yeah. They're shows that are good to watch, but I'll never end up doing it myself.
You know, Paul, you can always just go naked in your backyard and just chill there for like 3 days and see how it works out.
Yeah, no, you're all right. I don't think anyone wants to see that happen. We'll live stream that. We'll put a camera in the top of the house and see how I got on for half a day.
That would be funny.
Just me naked cutting the lawn. Don't think it'll attract much. Anyway,
today,
moving swiftly.
Yes, and today we have a special guest joining us who did not know that he was joining the survival show discussion hour. Chair of the LFC New York supporters group and friend of the pod, Justin Wells. So, Justin, how are you doing, and what is your favorite survival show?
My favorite survival show is actually just called Bear Grylls, which is what happens if we put Paul in his backyard naked next to a grill.
Which also is one of my favorite pastimes, barbecuing and grilling food. So, like, you've nailed it there, Justin, straight away.
I know my audience.
You do it naked and afraid.
When I'm writing a joke immediately.
That was an excellent pun, Justin. Really, really brilliant pun.
Herb. Yeah.
Yeah. No, glad to be here with you guys. We could talk survival shows, or we can talk process. But you know, I think we're versatile enough to do both.
Absolutely, and that's maybe a good point to start shifting our conversation towards. The reason why we're normally here. And so let's talk about some Liverpool activities. So off the field, since we last talked, FSG announced that former sporting director Michael Edwards was appointed the CEO of football for the ownership group. The management of football operations at Liverpool will be included in his job duties. And as one of the first acts that he did earlier this week, Liverpool announced that they had appointed Richard Hughes as sporting director. So I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on these appointments and what that means for Liverpool. So Justin, since you're our guest, why don't you start us off?
I think that my feelings on it are more... I don't want to use the word joy, but more just kind of relief that they've chosen at least a way to get a process in place, right? Obviously, depending upon your feelings on Michael Edwards, is going to color exactly what you think as to how good a process Liverpool is going to get. I think Edwards is a pretty good executive. I think he was a pretty good executive when he helped when he took over the club. I think that it's important that they get subsequent appointments right, because it's not just it's not going to be just process that's going to create the next winner at Liverpool after Klopp leaves. You need good process, and they're going to need good coaching, right? It's not just one. They're going to need both. I'm hoping Richard Hughes can take the step up, because there is a difference in goals between keeping Bournemouth in the Premier League versus going to Liverpool and trying to win the Premier League or the Champions League. So, the fact that Edwards does have faith in him, and Edwards has presided over a Champions League and a Premier League win at Liverpool, is encouraging, but it's still a big step up for Hughes. And, you know, I would say that I do like some of the business that they've done at Bournemouth, but it's, again, tough to evaluate because of the fact that just the incentives and the goals are quite different between trying to stay in the league and trying to win leagues. So it's encouraging, but it's going to, you know, there's a lot of work to do here. And I still think the most important decision they're going to make is who's managing this football club. And until I see that, because obviously I think I'd be very comfortable with either Alonso or Amorim, who are the two names who have been most linked to the club. And like, you know, I said, I'd be comfortable with both. I have a preference for Xabi, but would be comfortable with both. I need to see that before I can really fully, start to feel a certain way.
Right. We're like partway through. The other thing with Hughes is, for much of his time at Bournemouth, the project was one of patronage from the owner. So they're just putting in tons and tons of money. So you have like a lot more leeway in how you're doing things, or like how you're approaching the situation is going to be a lot different than at Liverpool, where you have a self-sustaining model rather than an owner who just wants to put money in to achieve their whatever their ends are. So that's going to be a little bit different. So Michael Edwards coming back, for me, it's one where I'm a bit lukewarm on him, because, you know, certain things of how just like every media article you read about him is so fawning over him, and it's not that he's done great things necessarily. It's just like, oh, he did this stuff, and it's like, well, that was his job description. You know, he's done a lot of good things, but then it's like the way things are framed is like he's the only one that was an actor in those situations. And a lot of it was the group that created the outcomes. And I think that, you know, how things go in the future where he just is not working with Klopp, that's like a big question mark, because we have a whole series of amount of time where he was doing this recruitment type role at Liverpool before Klopp, and that was a less successful period, we'll say. So Paul, you want to jump in here and give us your thoughts?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, Mike Edwards coming back is obviously one angle of me thinks it's a safe pair of hands. It's the appointment of someone who knows the club, knows the owners, knows effectively the process that people want to see happen, will be responsible for the process going forward. And you're kind of thinking, well, that's, you know, if you look at who was part of the most successful period of time in our recent history of the club, you've got Michael Edwards and you've got Jurgen Klopp. And I know there's a couple of other players around there as well, you know, different people from a executive standpoint that were involved. But if you think about the two main names, it's those two. So if you're going to lose Jurgen Klopp, bringing back someone who was involved in that level of success doesn't sound like that bad of an idea. For me, it's more, I think it's more, you've said it, Matt, there's so much press around him at the minute, and it just feels like he's very good at good PR about himself. whatever channels that's getting out through in the media, you know, everyone seems to have a real love in with the fact that he's back, and you know, that effectively he masterminded so much of what was good about our successes. And you're kind of going, well, there's a bit of rose-tinted glasses going with how some of this stuff's being reported. But at the same time, I kind of feel like if you want is low risk the right term? I don't know if it's a low risk appointment, but if you're wanting that kind of appointment where you kind of have some continuity from where we were previously, and you're losing the biggest name, you know, that we could lose as a club with Jurgen Klopp deciding to leave at the end of the season, I think bringing back part of the process that was good and everything over the last number of years, then it's not a bad appointment. It'll be more interesting to see how Richard Hughes steps up, because rightly, Justin, as you said, you know, there's a massive difference between just surviving within the Premier League and actually being one of the top clubs in the world. Not even just the one of the top clubs in England, but the aspiration for Liverpool Football Club and where Liverpool Football Club need to be is, you know, one of the top clubs in world football right now. And so there's a lot, you feel there's going to be a lot of pressure on him to kind of nail this stuff pretty quickly, in terms of player recruitment, contract management, who the manager will be, what the backroom staff will be around that manager, and, you know, various different parts and moving parts within the whole thing. We've already seen that, isn't there, two, his chief scout and one of the other scouts from Bournemouth now are coming as well. So already there's been moves put in place there to get this team in the right place and get it built, and he's putting together his team of who he knows, but he's also making sure that the guys who are already in place here have an element of being staying involved. So I think for me, you know, good appointment. The other question is, in reality, who out there was available that would necessarily have the level of experience that we would be looking for if you're talking about world-class elite football clubs? I don't really think the pool of talent is huge. So at some point in time, you're going to have to take a jump and a leap to maybe a sports director who's not as experienced. But if you have Michael Edwards above as, you know, CEO of football for FSG, at least you have someone who is well known in the industry, so to speak, well known by the club, and is...
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
A good friend, by all accounts, of Richard Hughes. They know each other well, and in a way makes that transition smoother, I hope. So my overarching feeling is, Justin, you used the word relief. I think for me, I'm just relieved that it's all done and dusted, it's sorted, we're ready to move on to the next stage. And, you know, because there was so much talk at the time about the fact that, oh, Liverpool take far too long making these appointments, FSG are too slow in this, we're going to get to the end of the season and no one will know what's went on, and we're going to be left behind and trying to make contract dealings and trying to get, you know, players brought in. I'm looking at it now and going, do you know what? There's probably been a lot of this stuff went on in the background as far back as, you know, November time, October, November, December, whatever, you know, a lot of this stuff's been happening in the background. It's been kept pretty quiet. Everything's, you know, got to a point now, right? We can release the news and we're ready to move on. So I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah, even so, it only took 6 weeks from when Klopp announced that he was retiring to when Edwards was appointed. So even that type of time frame from a public's perspective is not that long. And we didn't even get to the transfer window, so there was nothing to really be worried about. I think that you hit on something there where it's like, it may not be like a low risk appointment, but it is like maybe like a low to moderate risk, because the thing that Michael Edwards excelled most at was player trading. And so he's not going to be doing that in his new role. He's going to be overseeing the guy doing the player trading. So
that's and the guy who he player traded to.
Yes, exactly. And so whether or not he can do that skill set and whether the new guy can like player trade as well as Michael Edwards, that's the thing that we don't know. So Lubo, what are your thoughts on the situation?
My thoughts are quite, I would say, very consistent with what you guys have said. To me, it's two themes, right? One is that whenever you lose a huge personality in the manager, basically a larger than life personality, you really want to make sure that then you have a process, a robust process in place or a robust structure in place to manage that. Otherwise, you know, you have a risk, like it happened with Arsenal when Wenger left, or what happened with Man United when Ferguson left, is that you just basically have chaos and you have a number of people who just always used to defer to the, you know, a little bit the cult of personality. And when that is not there, it's a mess. And so I think that putting together a structure, or at least, you know, people who are experienced people, people who are capable, people who've worked with FSG before, putting those into place, ideally even before Jurgen left, I think that was very important. And we can debate about, you know, Michael Edwards or Richard Hughes and their pluses and minuses, but putting together an infrastructure that gives, feeling of security to the club and also the players at the club and potentially even new players that may be wanting to join was very important. I think the second was around the whole, you probably have seen that video by these exploding heads. You know, he knows the club, which I think it's a hilarious video. But I do think that Edwards, knowing the club, having worked at Liverpool for a long time, not just the people at the club, but also FSG, it does help with this sense of security. The last thing that you want to do is you bring in someone completely new from the outside, even if that person is very qualified, and then you realize there's clashes with the people already at the club, clashes with FSG. So I think from that perspective is why I think FSG were willing to give maybe a much more, much bigger role to Edwards than normally you expected, because they just didn't want that potential downside risk of appointing someone and having it blow in their face. And they basically know what they have in Edwards.
Hello, I'm here to annoy you. I'm here to annoy you into listening to more of me and more of others on EPL Index. We don't just have the Anfield Index stuff. We've got EPL Index as well, which covers the entirety of the Premier League. And we have three podcasts and a whole bunch of really good writing on EPLindex.com. The podcasts are my own Two-Footed podcast, which is every day at 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, covering the whole league. We have A Tad Predictable, hosted by Tadiwa. You know Tadiwa, he does Anfield Index. He presents A Tad Predictable before every Premier League match week. And then Kevin DeVries and his crew on the EPL Roundtable, they're every week after the Premier League match week. So make sure you listen to everything we're doing on EPL Index and follow us there on Twitter at EPL Index. Thank you. Bye-bye.
And so I think that the two combined is a positive, right? I think obviously the last step that we need to see is who is going to be the new manager and how that new manager will work in the structure. We've all heard the candidates being mentioned, and maybe we'll touch a little bit on those. But to me, the most important thing is that you didn't have a situation like at Man United, like at Arsenal for a long time, where you have years and years in the wilderness where just people don't know what to do because they had been so used for many years to just to defer to one person.
Yeah, I think what you're saying there is like there is a bridge to the past in a way by rehiring Michael Edwards. And so that does create some structure that people are familiar with. And that does make it easier to go forward. Now, like Justin was saying, it's like we need to know who the manager is, and hopefully they do the right thing and hire Xabi Alonso. But we'll see how that goes in the coming months. But I think that for me, it would be him. But we can discuss the managers real quick or potential managers. So Lubo, did you have any preferences there?
I mean, we've heard three managers being mentioned mostly, Alonso, Amorim, and De Zerbi, and then there's some other shouts. You could see why all three of them are being mentioned. They're relatively young. They have experience at top clubs. They have, maybe less so for De Zerbi, you'd say, but at least they have a track record of winning. I think when you look at them and especially look at their body of evidence at the top level, and then on top of that, you overlay potential connections to Liverpool, you obviously Xabi stands out the most. The question is going to be, there's a kind of an implicit assumption that if Liverpool called, he would join this summer. Who knows what the contractual situation is truly with Leverkusen? Who knows what Xabi would want to do? But I would say if he were available, he would be my first choice. But then who knows? There may be, maybe Amorim will be fine. Maybe De Zerbi would be fine. But I don't think this is a situation where I don't think you really need to overthink it too much. If Xabi is available, I think you sign him.
Yeah, I think that's just the way you go. You bring in the club legend who's undefeated this season. I think that he's the one. If you can get him, You go for it. And, you know, as Hughes was getting appointed, they were upping his connection to Alonso's agent. So maybe that's in the works. So, Paul, did you have any preferences on the next manager?
No, I think it's pretty similar there. Just if you can get Xabi, you go for Xabi. You know what I mean? And then after that, the reality is... You kind of look across, and I think I've asked this previously, you look across world football and you go, really, who's the elite manager that can kind of come in, replace Jurgen Klopp and take the club, keep the club going? You go, there's no one really who's in terms of like, you know, well-established management who you would go, yeah, he's the one that we want to go for. And so then, you know, Xabi Alonso with his history so far, you kind of look and go, well, yep, it would probably tick most of the boxes for next up and coming elite manager. But at the same time, you know, there's lots said about these other guys. So I'm pretty happy. I think I'll be pretty happy with whoever we sign, as long as it's not, you know, Sam Allardyce or, you know, Roy Hodgson, someone like that. I think, you know, we'll be grand. It's just you've got a pile of world-class players. Your appointment of the manager will eventually come down to their data points and how well they'll be able to deal with people and personalities and probably some larger than life personalities. But you have to think that the work that Jurgen and Pep and the different, you know, coaches will have done with these players, that have kind of kept their feet on the ground a bit. So we shouldn't have that kind of Cristiano Ronaldo issue, or, you know, like a Neymar kind of issue, when if they don't like how the manager's set up for the tactics after the first three games, then they'll start causing havoc. So I think we should be okay generally with who we appoint there. But yeah, go for Xabi.
Mm-hmm. And Justin, do you want to have any final thoughts on this topic before we move on?
I just have one around, and it's really around De Zerbi. I very much don't want him. I've looked at how Brighton defend. It nauseates me and it frightens me. I think that he is I think he's a decent manager for a club that's doing exactly what Brighton's been doing, but he hasn't really improved them. I understand part of that is the fact that they had, you know, their pockets picked in the transfer market by Chelsea, and then you know, did us a solid by selling us the far better player for far less money. But they, I just don't think De Zerbi is the guy who's going to improve us in particular. Like, I think we need someone who's a bit more tactically astute defensively, and that De Zerbi's not that guy. We've seen what happens when you have managers who are just so gung ho and attack, trying to go out and win leagues. It doesn't work. You actually do need to be pragmatic to win a league, because actually, you know, preventing goals is how you do it. Like, that's how we got better in one leagues under Klopp, is he figured out how to prevent goals more frequently. And I don't see that in De Zerbi, so I'm kind of out on him.
Yeah, I could see that. The one thing is, if you give a manager like that, a goalkeeper like Alisson or Queevin Kelleher, maybe they're a little bit better just because the goalkeeper quality is much higher. But
yeah,
from a system point of view, I think you probably want to go with one of the other two guys. And I think that their styles probably fit better with Liverpool and the group of players that Liverpool has. But so just, you know, do the right thing, hire Xabi Alonso, and it'll be grand. Looking back on what's happened on the field, so Virgil van Dijk scored an extra time winner to secure Liverpool's first trophy of the season in the League Cup final. Liverpool also easily cruised to victory 11-2 on aggregate against Sparta Prague in the Europa League. The Reds won Premier League games against Luton and Nottingham Forest before drawing the big one against Manchester City. And then finally, last weekend, we saw Liverpool go out of the FA Cup with a 4-3 loss against Manchester United. So let's start our discussion here at the League Cup final. So, Paul, I'll have you get started on this one. So what were the standout performances for you in the final?
Can I just say, it feels like there's been a heck of a lot of football that's happened since the last time we podcasted. And like, that's only 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'm trying to, you know, I'm sitting here going, League Cup final. What even happened in the League Cup final? but I know that we had, that went the extra time. I know that Virg had that scored from the corner. And I think standout performances, there's not. Can I be completely honest and go, I can't even think of, was there any standout performances that day? I'm sure there probably was. I'm sure there was players who were kind of who played really well. I think, you know, you always have to start with, I think one of the big names, if we're talking about just generally standout performers, right, from the last time we podcast to now, Queeve. I think Kelleher has been absolutely superb. And I know that, even talking to a lot of guys from over here, just kind of going, I don't know if he's, you know, I don't know if he's just going to be as sure-footed as what we need, given that Alisson has been out or will be out for, a spell of time. But honestly, I think he has been just ridiculously good and pulled off some. I think that was the game, if I can remember correctly, and I think he did it in the Europa League as well. Pulled off a one-handed save from a shot that ended up being offside. But he wasn't to know that. And it was like a goal line, you know, diving across, Shilton-esque kind of one-handed save just to stop the ball crossing the line. And you're just going like, this guy has so much in his locker, because his footwork is ridiculous. His passing range, his passing ability has never been in question. But I think what we've seen in the last, you know, 3-4 weeks is his shot-stopping ability and his positional sense, which I think a lot of people called into question at various points in time over the last, you know, 18 months, that, you know, when he's come on and played. And I just think standout performance is probably, you know, Queevin Kelleher has just been, has been ridiculously good in a...
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.